Okay. Why are we here tonight? We are here to know God more. We're here to love God more. We're here to live on purpose for Him more. The wonderful thing is that it is God who holds all the more in His hands. And it is God who works all of His more into our hearts and minds and lives. And He's longing to give you more. He's looking for His children, His daughters, who desire to know Him more. 2 Chronicles 16:9 tells us, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." Open your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 1, verses 9, 10, and 11. If you spent much time with me, you would hear these verses often. Someone's nodding their head. These are some of my favorite verses in God's Word. Listen for the word "more" in this prayer that Paul wrote to the church and to us, starting at verse 9. "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Walk with me again now, a little bit slower. We're going to go through those verses again. Let's see that there's a process of becoming more like Jesus. This process overflows with God's grace, and this process is God's work of sanctification. His work of sanctifying you. Starting again at verse 9. "And this is my prayer." Let's start with prayer. "That your love may abound." The motive of this prayer is love. The banner over this prayer is love. The starting place is love. More and more. These words speak of God's grace. We're not there yet, but more. Continually growing and consistently desiring to know God more. Philippians 3:16 tells us, "Only let us live up to what we have already attained." And then more. Let's not miss God's grace here. This isn't our to-do list that we check off, telling ourselves, "We've got to do more. We've got to do more. We've got to do more." No, this is your heart's desire for more of Jesus. With the kind of love that Deuteronomy 6:5 describes, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." It isn't pride saying, "I have to do more to measure up." It's humility saying, "Less of me and more of God." And all this more we're embracing is a gift from God by His grace to us. 2 Corinthians 9:8 tells us, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." And how may your love abound? In knowledge, in knowing God, and in knowing His Word. And depth of insight. I so appreciate the ladies at my table and the depth that they bring from their own study of God's Word and how they have come to know God. And I know that all of your mentors feel the same way about each one of you, because God's Word is active and alive, and it meets us right where we're at. There is so much that we can learn from each other. So I encourage you to bring your depth to our discussions, to our phone calls, and to the relationships that we're building with each other. So that. I love that Pastor Jim points out the "so that's" in Scripture. They're like, sit up, pay attention, be alert. Here's the point. so that you may be able to discern what is best. The Greek word for discern is dokimazo, which also means to approve, to test, to examine, and also to allow. I'd like us to focus on the definition to allow. We may allow God to do his work in us and join him in this process of sanctification. This verb, discern, or allow, is in the present tense, which means it is happening now and it can continue, which is where we get the words may be able. This verb is also active, which means the subject is doing the action. In this case, you and I, the subject, are doing the action of discerning or allowing what is best. What is best? What do we choose? We're all faced with choices every day. Knowing God more and more gives us the ability to weigh our choices with his word and to make the best choices that we can in our circumstances and to encourage others to do the same. And may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. And may be. This verb be is in the same active present tense as discern or allow, which again means it is happening now and it can continue. So we can be pure and blameless now and continually. There is a choice to be made. The choice to engage with God more and more, to participate with God in the process of becoming more and more like his son, and to receive through the grace of God his purposes in this process. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. Filled. Virginia asked us the question this year, what spills out of us when we get bumped? We want to be so filled with Jesus that it's Jesus who spills out of us when we're bumped. To the glory and praise of God. So why are we here tonight? We are here to know him more, to love him more, to live on purpose for him more, and all for his glory and praise. So who is God? What do we know about God? What comes to mind? Perhaps it's something we've heard this year. He is sovereign, immutable, impassible, omnipotent. His omniscience, his love, his mercy, his faithfulness, his goodness, his transcendence, his immanence. He is our shepherd, and he is our Prince of Peace. Some of those words might not have been familiar to us, but we spent time with them, we broke them apart, and we've gotten to know God better. We can continue on this course, asking who God is and getting to know him better, by uncovering all the names of God found in Scripture. There are many, and this would be a great Bible study for the summer, by the way. Why so many names? In Elmer L. Towne's book, The Ultimate Guide to the Names of God, he answers that question with a descriptive comparison of white light and the names of God. He says, just as white light is made up of 7 different rays or colors, so too God is made up of different attributes that are illuminated by different names. Just as a person can examine each of the 7 different colors to understand the nature of light, so too we can examine each of God's attributes to better understand him. Put together, the 7 hues of light become white light, with the individual colors obscured to the unaided eye. The unity of light is its diversity, and only thus do we understand it. In much the same way, God's names combine to reveal the one God, divine in all his attributes. Like we have learned this year, God is all of who he is, all at the same time. Names are valuable and significant. Your name is valuable and significant. Knowing someone's name makes them more approachable. It's the beginning place of a growing relationship. We've probably all experienced the gift our pastor has for remembering names. How do you think someone new feels when they return to our church and someone remembers their name? Don't you think it helps them feel drawn in? God wants you to know his name, his names, like Abba, all in all, Ancient of Days, Almighty, Breath of Life, Bright Morning Star, Comforter, Counselor, Deliverer, Emmanuel, Everlasting God, Fortress, Good Shepherd, God who sees me, Holy One, Hope, I Am, Jehovah, Jesus, King of Kings, Lamb of God, Light of the World, Living Water, Loving Kindness, and there's more. And the name that we'll uncover tonight, Jehovah Mekadishkem, the Lord who sanctifies you. That's his name, the Lord who sanctifies you. The Lord who has you in the process of becoming more like his son. To sanctify means to bless, to make holy, to purify, to set apart for a special purpose, a divine purpose. Doing a little research, I found this definition for Jehovah Mekadishkem at blueletterbible.com. Jehovah is translated as the existing one, or Lord. The chief meaning of Jehovah is derived from the Hebrew word hava, meaning to be or to exist. It also suggests to become, or specifically, to become known. This denotes a God who reveals himself unceasingly. Mekadishkem derives from the Hebrew word kadosh, meaning sanctify, holy, or dedicate. Sanctification is the separation of an object or person to the dedication of the holy. When the words are combined, Jehovah Mekadishkem, or Jehovah Mekadosh, it can be translated as the Lord who sets you apart. Sanctification is twofold. It is God and us. It is God, the creator of more, the provider of more, the revealer of more, the sustainer of more, the giver of more, and us who desire it and receive it and embrace it and walk in it. Now let's look at three places in Scripture where we'll find God's name, the Lord who sanctifies you. Let's first turn to Exodus 31:13. This is where we will find the first appearance of his name. The book of Exodus portrays the story of the Israelites as they set out on a great escape from slavery to deliverance. Only they had a little detour along the way. Listen along as I read starting at verse 12. Then the Lord said to Moses, "You are to speak to the people of Israel and say, 'Above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you.'" There's his name. The NIV reads, "So you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy." And now let's turn to Leviticus chapter 20, verses 7 and 8. Leviticus is a powerful book of a people striving to have a relationship with their holy God. But because God is holy, we know that sin cannot be in his presence. So laws and rules were established, and specific systems for making sacrifices were relentlessly carried out. Yearly, monthly, daily. Blood was required to pay for their sin. And this all pointed to Jesus, our perfect, sinless Lamb, who laid down his life for us and paid for our sins. Sanctification is only possible because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross and by being washed by his word. Starting at verse 7 now in Leviticus 20. Consecrate, which means to dedicate, devote unswervingly, set apart, make holy, sanctify. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. There's his name. And now thirdly, let's go to the New Testament, to 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. And here we'll find his name again. But while you're going there, I'm going to back up for a moment to chapter 4 and verse 1. Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. And in verse 3, it is God's will that you should be sanctified. And now our passage in chapter 5, starting at verse 23. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. There's his name. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amazing. The very thing God asks of us, the thing we need and want and desire, is the very thing God says he will do, and the very thing God says he is. His name is the Lord who sanctifies you. He will do it. Because he is the one doing this work in you, you can trust him. You can trust him with the results, with the process, and with his purposes. When I first started writing this talk, I read 1 Thessalonians 5:23 in the NASB version, and it goes like this. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. There's his name. May your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved complete, without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Preserved complete. That word caught my attention. Preserved. So I looked up its meaning in the dictionary, and I found that when preserved or preserve is used as a verb, it means to maintain, to retain, to uphold, to sustain, to perpetuate, to keep going, or to keep alive. And then I looked up verses that had this word in it, and other verses that had this word in it, and I found Psalm 119:50. My comfort in my suffering is this. Your promise preserves my life. And then I remembered the peach preserves my mom made when I was a kid growing up in Pennsylvania. And when preserve or preserved is used as a noun, it is a food made with fruit, preserved in sugar, such as jam. It also means to can, or pickle, or similarly, prepare for future use. So go on a walk with me on this one. In the process of becoming more like Jesus, we often get ourselves in a little jam. Do you ever get in a jam? Are you in a jam right now? I'm pretty sure I can say with confidence that we are all in some kind of jam. Because like Philippians 1:6 tells us, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. We're not done yet. And I also know you're in a jam with me because of what Jesus says in John 16:33. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world and the jam. And just before this, Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Now, to make a good jam is a process. First, there's the sweet, ripe fruit for picking. Well, wait, how did it get there? How did it grow? Well, first we begin with the mystery of the seed itself and the marvel of what it can produce. I have a sign in my kitchen that reads, anyone can count all the seeds in one apple. Only God can count all the apples in one seed. The weeds are then plucked, the soil is tended, and the seeds are planted and cared for. And then there's more weeds, and more weeds, and more weeds. Then the seed sprouts. Its roots reach down deep into the soil. It's growing. Perhaps it's a strawberry, a blueberry, a raspberry, a blackberry. Or maybe it's a cherry tree, an apple tree, or a peach tree. There's all kinds of jam. Then there's pruning. It's necessary and sometimes painful. Now we're getting somewhere. Now there's sweet, ripe fruit. And we get picked and plucked and pulled all together. We get a little squished. Then, depending on the jam, we get pressed down, mixed up, heated up, poured out, sealed up, preserved. Not every part of this jam is sweet. But the end result of a good jam is always something sweet. James 1:2 encourages us to consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. And Scripture also encourages us to be prepared. And 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 tells us, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And then a few verses later in 2 Timothy 4:2, be prepared in season and out of season. In the planting season, the waiting season, the pruning season, and in the jam season. In 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. To give an answer, to know the reason, we have to know God. We have to know His Word. Let's be prepared. Let's choose to engage with God in this sanctification process that we're in. Everything we need, every answer we're looking for, is in God's Word. Sometimes we learn from our jam, and sometimes we have to go through that jam again. When that happens, and that happens, let's stop ourselves from thinking, how did I get here? What went wrong? And let's start thinking, what does God want me to do now, starting here, from here? What is His will for me, for you, right now? 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 answers that question for us. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What is His will? Be joyful. Pray continually. Give thanks. These three things can change everything. I've gone through some painful things. I know you have too. In my darkest moments, in my difficult places, when I'm lacking wisdom, direction, and needing God's guiding hand, and needing it right now, I have learned to seek Him, and I am learning to seek Him. We can all learn and train ourselves to be prepared by asking that question, what is your will for me right now, Lord, right now? And by continuing to look to his word for the answers. Psalm 121, 1 and 2, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Do we always remember to ask him? Do we always remember to seek him? No. Sometimes we forget. Sheep are forgetful. But let's choose to do so more and more. Pastor Jim once said, quite a few years ago now, we can choose to nurse our wounds, or we can let the healer move us on. We can nurse, coddle, keep our wounds close, play that videotape over and over in our mind, or we can let God move us on. We can get back in the process. And when we handle our jam correctly, we can see that the result is good. It is ready to be used and to be shared so that we and others can taste how sweet it is to be loved by God and to be sanctified by God. We can know and share how God took us through the process we're in right now, and enjoy the sweet result of knowing him more. Thank you.
Kay, we appreciate your wonderful message. Ladies, just so you know, you might have already been told we are staying in here, so just remember your volume.